guys, welcome to episode 152 of Inside the Cage. We're back.
Oh my god, that must be the longest break in history, huh?
It's been a long break, but yes, Scott and Mark are back with your usual, hopefully weekly, dose of absolute shite MMA chat. It's been a bit of a break, as I say, guys. Things have just, it's one of these things, life just gets in a way. It's happened a few times the last year or so with Mark and I, and it's just trying to find the time. But we hope we're back for longer.
We'll try and get on the right track again, try and get a wee bit of consistency. And I want to get consistency in the next couple of months, to be honest, because I'm fucking feeling it. So I hopefully get a bit of consistency to go in the next few months right up to Christmas.
It'd be good just to try and, doesn't have to be consistent. As I say, there's no pressure. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to create all this, to create the content and put it out. And I think it just kind of eventually kind of broke down. And so we've had a bit of an epiphany to relax into it, go back to what it was, enjoy doing it for what it is, for just talking about fighting and see where we go. The format might change a wee bit. We've kind of decided that the format should maybe change, but we'll deal with that as and when it comes. My laptop's not working. Great.
Great start to the show if your laptop's not working.
I know. So our usual format would be we would run through the whole card from the weekend. We'd look at UFC, probably about Bellator, stuff like that. But decided just to kind of go with the flow. Start talking about talking points. Got a couple of things we want to talk about. And if it leads to other things, we'll go with it. We won't do full card breakdowns anymore unless that changes in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to try out this format, see how it goes. And yeah, go from there, see if it kind of shortens it a wee bit as well. So personally for me, right, I don't know if you feel the same, Mark, right, but if we're doing talking points, the only talking point I think from Saturday night at UFC, other than Mark Zuckerberg buying the whole fucking studio like an absolute douche, is how good Xiaonan Yan was on the ground defensively. I mean, she basically got dry-humped by Mackenzie Dern for 25 minutes and didn't give her a sniff at all, like at all.
I wouldn't deny that, yes, she's good defensively. She stopped any sort of really submission attempts. I think there's about maybe two or three attempts through the whole fight. I still don't know if she won the fight, by the way, but that's a totally different matter.
Didn't think she won the fight?
No, I was happy with the 47-47.
I mean, the first round was 100% a 10-8. It was the first round, wasn't it? When Dern mashed
no,
it up.
No, second round.
Second round, sorry, aye, second round. The second round was 100% a 10-8. But I don't know, I thought Yan did enough to win three rounds for me. I think she'd had one.
Well, she did win three rounds. But if you work it out, it's 47-47.
Right, okay. Yeah, I thought you meant she didn't win it as you didn't think she actually won. Right, no, cool.
No, neither girl won for me on points. That's what I'm trying to say.
I can see that. I can go. I said Dern probably did enough to win two rounds. And for me, the first one, the second one was a 10-8 as well, mate. I don't understand. They keep telling us, the MMA world keeps saying, we need more 10-8s, we need to make them more of a thing because there needs to be more disparity. And then there's a glaring, obvious 10-8 in front of you, and only one judge gives it. And you're like, well, you're telling us that this 10-8 thing should be a thing, and you're telling us to look out for it, and then you aren't using it when it's there.
I'm a massive advocate of pushing the 10-8, 10-7, 10-6, I don't care. Just you've got to have more disparity within the points of fights. And for me, as you said, second round was definitely a 10-8, without doubt for me. But I know Xiaonan, even I know there wasn't much happening in the fifth round for Dern, but even then, she basically dominated it for 4.5 minutes. As soon as she got the takedown, that was basically on top.
But remember, there's this whole criteria now about taking somebody down and dominating them for 5 minutes doesn't win you the fight. Doesn't it? I mean, okay, if nothing else happens in the round, then that really is the only criteria to score. But you need to be shown to be a bit more active. I think that's the problem. But I think she was active. I love watching Dern. I would have had a draw, to be honest. I had it 3-2, and the second round was a 10-8. So that makes it, as you say, a 47-47. Which, I mean, draws should be banned and all that. You can't have a draw in a fight. I've said this before.
This is where your scorecard's got to have more disparity in how you look at fights. Like, some of the rounds Yan Xiaonan stand up was just taking Dern apart. Dern couldn't deal with it. She didn't know some of the strikes that she was doing. So possibly you could say that even I'm trying to think if it was one round more than the other one that she dominated, like the third or the fourth. Like first was kind of, it wasn't massively. She won it, no doubting about that. But third or fourth was definitely clear rounds for Xiaonan. So maybe they should have been 10-8s and Mackenzie Dern should have won 10-7s. There's got to be more disparity in rounds for me for points. And I think this is probably a massive case for that. So I'm getting near my point and I fucking lost track of my point.
Great start on it. We're having a great one. Are you giving
I totally lost track of my point when I was gone. I can't actually remember. I've totally gone. But look, Xiaonan got the win. As you say, she looked decent defensively. She stopped the submission attempt, which was the biggest thing. Some of the scrambling at times was really good by her. She stopped. Dern really did too much damage. She got her a couple of times into certain positions. She fought out of them well. She done the right things when she had to. There was definitely improvements on the ground for Xiaonan. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Dern striking. She looked quite good last fight with her striking. And she looked as though she improved a lot. But I think in this fight, I think that was totally stopped.
A step backwards, mate.
But I think it was stopped by Xiaonan. I don't think she was allowed to use any sort of striking, really. I thought, because Xiaonan had a really good jab. She used her jab quite a lot as well. That kept...
Yeah, but then I think I agree with that, right? I agree with maybe being able to, like, effectively strike somebody, right? But for me, you still have to look like you're throwing effective strikes, and at no point did I think that the two of them could strike with each other and have a good striking battle. That's my point. Like,
no, I'm not doubting that.
Yan kept Dern at the end of that jab, kept her away you go, you stay back there, but every time Dern threw something, it was wild, it was all over the place. Okay, I suppose you could say that's maybe because Dern forced her that way, but there was openings, and when she had openings, she wasn't doing, I don't know, mate, I just feel like Dern was slowly, very slowly, fight by fight, making her way to becoming one of these kind of almost complete martial artists, that having like a good, solid grappling base, which is what you need nowadays. Your base needs to be grappling, and then you add the bits on. I think for me personally, I think that's the best way to go in these fights. And she showed more aspects of becoming that fighter, and I feel as if this is a step back for me. I love Mackenzie Dern because I'm grapple heavy, you know that. I'll prefer a grappling fight to a Muay Thai fight or a kickboxing fight, right? But I just felt as if it was a step back, because I honestly thought Dern would wipe the floor with Yan. I really, really did. I thought Dern would win, mate, and I thought Dern would win comfortably. I was quite surprised, if I'm honest. I'm not sure what, like, maybe I'm, I don't know, maybe I'm blinkered because I'm a fan of Dern, I don't know, but for me, it just seemed like, I don't know, I think last time I seen Yan, I'm trying to think who Yan fought with. I wasn't that impressed. I think she won her last one before. No, Rodriguez. I know it was a split decision. And then obviously I lost to Esparza. I thought Yan got found out quite bad in the Esparza fight. Obviously she's worked on it, clearly, because Esparza took her down and fucked her up on the ground. Then I'm trying to do that. At one point, Dern was 1-for-8 in takedown, so that shows you how good Yan was. But I don't know, mate. There's a bit of me that's kind of gutted, because I say Dern was making these moves to becoming a very well-rounded, you know, martial artist, and somebody who could potentially fight for that belt. And I think this is just a massive step back, not only because of the result, but because of the performance. She leaned so heavy on her grappling, which I suppose, I'm being so hypocritical here, right? But I guess you should always lean on what you're good at. But it didn't work. What she was good at wasn't enough to get Yan out of there. That's kind of my point.
Yeah, well, no doubt about that. For me, yeah. Yan's actually up there with probably, look at the top of the ranking. As a striker, as a boxer, probably only Marina Rodriguez is far way better. Zhang's really, really good as well, but I actually think Yan's actually possibly a better striker, but maybe not as good a grappler type thing. Got the all-round, obviously, that Zhang's got now, because Zhang proved in her last fight that she's got that all-round thing that she proved against when she beat JJ and just absolutely flattened her. Had to get that in there. I love saying that, man. I just love that. And I also thought before this fight, Mackenzie Dern had maybe that way grapplers fall in love with her hands and really enjoy just fighting with her hands. And I thought if she goes down that route with Yan, Yan will take her apart. And in the three rounds, she basically did that because she couldn't get anywhere near Yan because of the jab. And then when she did throw, she started throwing pure wild because she got a bit fucking desperate. And then she couldn't get the takedowns. So Dern just fucking... And in the two rounds she did get a takedown, she fucking dominated on the ground. Yes, she didn't get a submission, no doubt about that. But most of it, Yan, she stopped the finishes, but she couldn't really get back up because of how good Dern is in the ground as well. So there's a bit of both, a bit of everything, and I think either way, that yes, Yan was improved. Dern maybe went resorted to type because she couldn't use the striking that has improved. No doubt about that. I think everybody can say it has improved, but in this fight, she wasn't able to improve, use that improved striking because of what Zhao Nan did. And then I think that kind of, I think everything kind of contributed to each other in this fight. Mm. Yan was able to stop with most takedowns, which did get taken down, blah, 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 etc. And I think it was just one of those fights. It kind of nullified each, nullified each other within certain ways. Like, Yan stopped Dern really getting takedowns. She stopped her really using the strike, but when Dern did get a takedown, she was able to fucking dominate her on it. And it kind of, they used each other's main weapon really, really well as such when they did get that opportunity. And it made it such a close fight for me. And as I said, I had a 47-47 end. I'd have been happy with that. A draw, call it a day. I'd actually wouldn't mind seeing it again just to see what would happen. I don't think there's an obvious fight out there for Yan at this moment in time anyway. So if
You've just linked into my next question, Marky Boy, so we'll just rewind a second. So, who do you think's next for Yao Zhao Nan?
Like, obviously, look at the ranking. She moves up one. She got into fifth.
Rodriguez is tied up. Zhang Weili's tied up. I mean, is she good enough to be fighting Rose? Probably not. And Andrade?
Possibly, but I don't know if that, again, I'm not saying Andrade wouldn't take it. I'm saying a step back one fucking position. But surely Andrade's only looking to try and fight for that title again. You look at it and obviously it's Barca's fighting Zhang Weili. What?
Can't wait. They can't wait. If they want to stay active, they can't wait. So but it's then, a difficult one for Andrade, I suppose, if you think about Andrade waiting, if she wants to wait. Because, I mean, if Zhang wins, right, let's say Zhang beats Esparza, because it's more than likely going to happen, right, then Esparza will want a rematch, I presume. It's normally the case. Doesn't always happen, granted, but it's normally the case.
And then Andrade's
kicking about waiting for the best part of 2 years, waiting for, so she'll need to fight somebody. So maybe Andrade, Zhao Zhao Nan. But have they not
What I don't understand is I feel there's a fight that would get... They tried to make, and I think they tried to make Rodriguez Andrade, and it didn't happen. Because why the hell is Rodriguez now fighting Lemos? Because for me, Rodriguez was next.
Yeah.
So I think they tried to make Rodriguez Andrade. So that tells me maybe Andrade saying, "Well, fuck it, I'll just wait."
Fuck, if you're Andrade, you don't want to fight Marina Rodriguez, man. Fuck.
Well, for me, I thought Rodriguez was next. I really thought Rodriguez was next, and she was getting set up for fighting for the title.
I think Zhang was always next to me. I think after that,
I think just the way times have worked out. Because when did Rodriguez was March? She won a fight. When did Zhang beat JJ? When was that? June or something? Aye, June. So I think then obviously Zhang done something. Maybe Marino Rodriguez wasn't ready, so they made the Zhang versus Carla fight. That's fair enough. And if Marina goes and beats Amanda Lemos, for me she'd be next. But then Amanda Leon has just been beaten by Jessica Andrade. It fucks up the whole division. It's a weird situation they've got on, that somehow Amanda Lemos has been beaten by Jessica Andrade, but yet gets to fight somebody higher.
Yeah. I mean, Jessica Andrade was supposed to fight Manon Fiorro in Paris.
Yeah, so she was.
So Andrade's injured. I don't know if she's fit now. So maybe Andrade's sort of perhaps sitting about waiting for a fight, mate. So it could be that Andrade's the kind of key to all of this. It keeps everybody in the top 5-6 busy if Andrade is built to fight Yan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be I think that's the obvious one looking at it, because as you say, she's probably not She's probably not going to fight Rose next. No. I don't know when Rose will be back. No, I've not really heard much either. I think it's kind of all quiet on Rose. So I think for Jan, I think if she can look for the Andrade fight, it's probably what's next. If they can make that fight, magic. If not, you've got two or three girls who are only looking one way and they're looking up and they're not going to want to make a step backwards. They all want to go forward. They all want to fight somebody above them and higher in the rankings to try and get a closer to that title shot. Jan Andrade, fair play to Rodriguez. She's obviously decided she wants to stay busy and she's taking a bit of a step back and fighting Lemos. That's a big thing to do. So
it's weird that it's actually an interesting top of that division actually, because you imagine the chaos that would ensue if Amanda Lemos beat Marina Rodriguez.
Ah, well, that's the thing, that it causes such a hassle that if that happens, you're then looking at Lemos probably fighting basically a number one contenders fight.
Perhaps Esparza or the loser of Esparza, Zhang, would fight against.
Aye, then fights for the title next type thing. So it's a weird situation that's happening for the next strawweight division at this moment in time. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what happens. But definitely Jan will be wanting to look for the Andrade fight. I'd imagine that'll be next for her. Yeah.
Alrighty. I think we should talk about an angry Sadiq Yusuf. I felt dead bad for Don Sheamus.
Yeah, I felt like he was fed to the wolves a wee bit here, weren't he, man? He was just like that. Look, I know you're a bit pissed off, Sadiq. I know you've had a few things fall through and a bit of shit's happened and you've been... But here's a body, just go and fucking have him. Mm. It looked like Don Sheamus, to me, never heard of the boy. He just looked like he should not have been in that octagon for me.
Nah. I mean, he's got a decent record, don't you? 12-3 is fine. You know, it's almost as good as fucking Yusuf's. I mean, but
what's the level you're fighting at, Bant? He's basically caged titans and stuff. So,
of course, I think I'd like to see him get another shot in the UFC. I think these guys always should get a shot. Like, if he's willing to step in last minute and fight an absolute killer in Sadiq Yusuf on that form is one of the best, you know, top 10, top 5. You know, featherweights in the world, and Don Sheamus went, I'll take it. So I think guys like that should get an opportunity to fight, maybe even on the DWCS, or if not, on a fight card down the line. Definitely give him a chance, because I think he deserves it. Yusuf, it was in the commentary, one of them said it felt like he was just totally taking his anger out on Sheamus, and it did actually proper feel like that. It was a shame, but it was actually quite good to see and a very aggressive Sadiq Yusuf, because see when Sadiq first made his UFC debut, you and I were only like 4 months into doing the pod, and I said to you, this guy's, we talked about him, we said he was legit, he was going to be a proper contender, because he came with a bit of pedigree through the, he beat Mike Davis in the contender series, and he's had some really good wins. The only loss he's had is Arnold Allen, right? Well, sorry, in the UFC, he obviously lost back in Titan FC, but things just haven't went his way. He's only fought like pretty much once every year since 2019. You know, once in 2020, once in 2021. He fought twice this year so far, but he's only fought, what, 4 times in 4 years? So it's not very good. Obviously, the Giga thing happened as well. Giga got injured, but he can't do much about that.
No, he's been really, really unlucky with some of the fights that have been made for him within the UFC, and they've obviously fell off, and shit's hit the fan, and it's red tits up for him, and he's just had absolutely no luck whatsoever. He just needs a bit of luck and a bit of a run, because there's no doubt the boy's got skills, man. He's a very, very good mixed martial artist. Do you know what I mean? He's ranked 12th in the division. Again, you look at the guys that are ahead of him, the only one, as you said, he's beaten was Arnold Allen. Like, he's fighting Calvin Kattar next, and there's probably, that's on its way to being a number one contenders fight as well type thing. Do you know what I mean? So
it is.
It shows you the level that Sadiq has been beaten by within the UFC as such. So he's only getting better and better. And it's really good to see, as you say. I think if he's angry, if he's that kind of pent up, I think it's sometimes in his fight he can be a bit passive sometimes. He's just waiting for him to do the counter-striking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was good to see him basically just being angry. Just go take it out. Just go take the body away and just fucking do away with him and get rid of him. And he done it in the best way possible, mate. It was sensational. 31 seconds, wasn't it?
30, bang on.
30 seconds, bang on, man. Brilliant. Fair play to him, man.
I'd want to fight again before Christmas. I'd be like, Dana, man, get me in. I want to fight. Fuck, I'd want to fight Abu Dhabi if I was him. I'd be like, get me on Abu Dhabi. Fuck it.
Just get him in as soon as possible, will you?
Aye. As soon as he can get an opponent, but that's the thing, that's the hard thing. When you're ranked, it's easy to say. See if he was an unranked guy, right, who was his second UFC fight and smashed something in 30 seconds and didn't take a single hit and was ready to go again the same night, they'd book him in 3 weeks because they can get loads of people to fight them. But because he's so high up, who in that top, I mean, where is he ranked? He's ranked 12. So who in that top 10, top 11 guys are one available and two going to want to fight a Sadiq Yusuf like that? I mean,
he called out Zombie.
Oh, I know, I love that. I think that'd be brilliant. I think Zombie would do him, but I just love Zombie. Can't see past the TKZ for me, but yeah, that'd be a great fight, mate. That'd be a great fight.
I think I'd have a magic fight to make, because you're looking at it, you look ahead, apart from Giga, there's nobody really there. Zombie is the only other one ahead of him, really, without a fight. And apart from the top five, do you know what I mean? The top five guys are all looking to see who's fighting Alex next, you know what I mean? So
you would think that Zombie would be ready, because he fought Bolt for the belt in April, aye. So, excuse me.
Do you think he'd be sort of ready to go whenever the UFC called up on him type thing? So it'd be good to, I know, an absolute belter fight to get made before the end of the year. That'd be class.
Yeah. I know we said we wouldn't do full card breakdowns. We did talk a lot about Jan and Dern, but obviously it wouldn't be tradition if I didn't say to you, is there anything on this card from Saturday that jumped out that's worth talking about? Like, not necessarily even a performance, maybe what the win does for somebody or does for a division. Personally for me, there wasn't much. There was some really good performances on the card, don't get me wrong. The first three prelims were fucking insane.
I don't think there was really anything that affected divisions in any way. Mm. You might be looking one or two guys who are going to maybe looking for a ranked fight next, maybe the likes of a Brendan Allen or a Randy Brown are maybe looking for a ranked fighter next.
Yeah.
To then put in some decent performances, do you know what I mean? But outside the likes of Silva Ronson and Santos Castaneda, man, they were absolutely sensational fights. If you're just looking for fights to watch, I would recommend 100% go and watch the fights just for absolute belters.
Silva's knockout of Ronson was savage, man. Amazing. If you like knockout.
And how Santos was still standing after that first fucking round, by the way, and to come out and actually finish Castaneda was just sensational. So,
I know.
It was brilliant, mate.
Right. Let's talk about what we will do this. Let's talk about Pico first, because it wasn't really fight related. I just wanted to mention Aaron Pico because he is fucking gangster as fuck. That video of him, in the highlights of the film, he points to his shoulder to tell his coaches that his shoulder's popped out, and then proceeds, whilst being held against the cage by his opponent, to pop his own shoulder back in. Man, the boys get some serious nuts on him. I guess the whole point is, they always say with a dislocated shoulder and stuff like that, the idea is to get it straight back in straight away. Everybody knows the scenes for Lethal Weapon when Mel Gibson, you know, aye.
That's the concrete power.
Yep, exactly. He always has to put his shoulder back in. So Aaron obviously knows, fuck, if this doesn't go in now, it might not go back in without, you know, surgery and stuff like that. So he's fucking, I just, honestly, mate, I thought the video was gangster as anything. You're watching him, he's literally being grappled and he's trying to pop his shoulder back in. Kudos to the boy. And the fact that he wanted to keep fighting with one arm, it just tells you everything you need to know about Aaron Pico's attitude now. I think he's a totally different guy from the guy who made his debut at fucking 12 years old, whatever age he was.
100% fair play to him, man. It was just about a minute, wasn't it? It popped out in that first round.
Luckily,
to even can think about that point, just to carry on trying to fight, trying to at least stand up and get to the end of the round, because obviously this must have happened before in training or something like that. This must be something kind of...
It's a historic injury, because he wasn't fazed by it. He didn't look as if he was in any pain, and he pointed to the shoulder to the coaches as if... If I was fighting and I pointed to my shoulder, the coach is probably going to go, what the fuck are you talking about? So it's almost as if they knew, because he just pointed and nodded and that was it. So it's obviously something that's happened before.
So he obviously knew maybe he could get it back in and maybe continue fighting. So he obviously wanted to try that. He wanted to keep going. And fucking fair play, oh man, unbelievable. As you say, the cojones in this kid to continue going. And wanting to continue going into the second round and try and basically fight with one arm. Look, there's been a person before who's fought with basically one arm, do you know what I mean? So, but obviously the doctor came in, I think he said, was it mentioned a broken clavicle as well, possibly?
Yeah.
So, obviously it was more than just the fact that the shoulder popped out, there was more to it than just that. So, but aye, look, as you say, the balls and the kid to even consider trying to fight on with one arm, and aye, spot on, well done, man. Big props to Aaron Pico. I think it's just make the beef, make the fight again as soon as he's fit, if it's possible, to be honest. I hope they do it anyway.
Yeah. Talking of injuries, we'll move on in a wee minute. This is just a quick one. Did you see the boy Palencia break his leg?
No. I've seen the elders.
Yeah, kicked him, checked it, bang, snap.
Just like the couple we've seen elsewhere.
Put his weight back on it, wobbled a wee bit, and went,
oh, wet.
That tickles. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Thought that'd break his skin, that's what you don't want to have.
I know. The next thing I'm going to jump on to, right, I don't know how to start this one. I don't know if I want to talk about AJ McKee's lightweight debut and how good it was, or just talk about Spike Carlisle for 20 minutes, because the guy's an absolute legend, man. That first 20 seconds of that fight, I was exhausted, mate. I thought I was going to have a heart attack watching it. The guy came out like a fucking, you'd let like a wild bull into a bull ring, man. It was nuts.
He's fucking mental. We've seen that in the couple of fights he had in the UFC, that he was absolutely fucking a screwless, do you know what I mean? He was mental. And I couldn't believe it myself, man. The pace he was fighting at was unbelievable. But fair play to him, because I really didn't think he was at a level. I know, obviously, AJ McKee won the fight comfortably, no doubt in that. But he had moments in the fight where he was doing well, where he was doing okay. He was hanging with AJ McKee at certain times, and I was like, oh, fucking hell, what's going on here? I was so shocked and surprised by it, because I never in any way, shape or form thought, I Spike Carlisle will be, he'll be sound, he'll give AJ McKee a good fight. And obviously, as you say, McKee won it quite comfortably in the end, but McKee knew he was in a fight, man. McKee knew after that fight, fuck's sake, I've been in one here. I've been in a fight.
Spike Carlisle, on paper, before this fight, you're looking at going, AJ McKee's going to, walk over the top of Spike Carlisle. And I suppose in the end, it was pretty one-sided. But Spike gave him everything, gave him a fight, made him work for it. It's funny, right? I think of a way to compare it. I always come back to football, right? But I suppose it's like a lower league team, right? A lower league team maybe plays some of the big teams in the cup, right? Maybe it's like you just playing us in the cup, right? Because you're a wee team and we're a big team, right? And you think you are going to get beat, right? But see, if you gear it 100%, you fucking give it everything. You just never know. Sometimes technique doesn't come into it, mate. As I say, 9 times out of 10, McKee beats Carlisle, but there's that one time where if he gives that effort and AJ McKee slips on him a wee bit, just takes 1 minute of concentration, Carlisle puts him out or chokes him out, do you know what I mean? So I think his heart and his desire and the fact that he just goes 100, that 100% for 15 minutes will ultimately win him fights against other people, because a lot of people will not be able to handle that kind of level of intensity. I mean, geez, McKee looked as if he was like a rabbit caught in the headlights for the first 2 minutes of that round. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let's be honest, how many fighters have we seen who win fights just on pure intensity? Just keep pressuring, going forward, and just get the guy, the girl walking backwards, and they just can't deal with it. And obviously, Spike's that fucking mental, that's what he just keeps doing. He keeps fucking walking forward, he keeps fucking going for it every single time, and he doesn't fucking stop.
It'll be a problem in that division for people, mate. I mean, AJ McKee's definitely also a level above, because AJ McKee can handle that. He knew, obviously, after the first couple of minutes that he wasn't going to stop. Went 15 minutes. Spike Carlisle looked as if he'd been, blood poured over his head. Pretty nasty. I did like the part off the commentary. Did you listen to the commentary?
Heard bats, because I was kind of thinking.
The buzzer went, and Carlisle, I think at that point, Carlisle was in a rear naked. So he kind of sat up from the rear naked, and the commentator just went, Halloween started early. Spike Carlisle dripping with blood all down his face, man. It's brilliant. Was quite impressed by McKee here. I like McKee at lightweight. He carries that weight. He's a big, big laddie, even for lightweight. He looks good. I was quite impressed by McKee. I think he probably could have, maybe got him out of there, but as I say, Carlisle's a hard thing to, hard guy to put away, but I thought McKee looked really good.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. McKee looked very good. He looked good at the weight. He looked strong. He just physically looked fucking spot on. 145 sometimes looked a wee bit skinny. Skinny's probably not the right word, but you could tell there wasn't a lot of beef on him type thing. Whereas at 155, he carries that 10 pounds really, really well, man. as you say, possibly could have had a spike earlier, but give Spike his due. He's had four losses, all four have been by decision, so he's not an easy guy to go out of there. Brilliant, good performance on his debut by AJ McKee at 155, definitely. I'd imagine he'll be looking for a wee ranked fighter next time, maybe start pushing his way up the rankings.
Don't know if he'll need too many, mate, to get a shot. You know, he's 19-1. He's, you know, he's Bellator's golden boy, other than Patricio. I reckon maybe one more fight at lightweight if he picks somebody mid-table lightweight. I don't know how they're ranked. I can't remember who's in their rankings, but
Patricio's fighting Usman Nurmagomedov, obviously, for the title next anyway. So it wouldn't surprise me if they try and set up a wee number one contenders fight for McKee next to then go and try and fight the winner of that.
Is that not soon?
288. When's 288? November.
287's next, aye, so 280 will be November or something. That's not far away. So I suppose if McKee can fight, could he fight before Christmas? Maybe not. Doubt
but Patricio doesn't fight often anyway, so it's not as if you're looking to try and...
No, I'm just trying to say, because if Patricio fights not in November, Patricio's probably going to fight March, April?
You could get Shirley AG back out, but you could get him maybe January, maybe early January, aye, first card in January or something.
Start in January, maybe. Alrighty. I feel like we should talk about Pitbull, because he's like, you know, he's pound for pound. You know, he's up there as one of the best featherweights in the world. You can't deny that. There's like literally, it's hard to argue with that. But this was all very... a bit meh for me. Like, it was a good fight, but it was quite one-sided and a bit just kind of like, almost like a formality. Like, it was almost like, yeah, Pitbull will win, you know, win five rounds. It's kind of how that went.
I think we've mentioned this before, especially within the UFC. There's definitely fighters within divisions, champions within divisions who are basically untouchable. And that's what Pitbull is. He's untouchable. Now that McKee's obviously away at 155, he is untouchable within that 145 division. It'll be extremely hard for anyone to get near him. There's nobody of the class of a McKee or a Pitbull. The two of them are way off in the distance, probably on their own at the kind of lower levels within Bellator, do you know what I mean? So, but as you say, he's the GOAT. He's probably the best of all, he's greatest of all time. He's probably the GOAT of Bellator as such. He's a great featherweight. There's no doubt he's probably in, say, top 10 rankings for featherweights in the world.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. So, but as you say, this is just another kind of... Boric is classed as the second-ranked fighter within that division, and in the end, it was pretty easy. And Boric, even at times, was getting really frustrated with himself, as if he just couldn't... He didn't have an answer for it, didn't know how to deal with it. I mean, you're fighting somebody like that, what chance you got?
One judge scored it 48-47, and I'm not really sure how, what I seen of it. Like, I mean, you could maybe go to a 49-46, but, I mean, a 48-47 from me is bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know where somebody's getting that. For me, maybe could I give Boric a round, but there wasn't much. They definitely probably wouldn't have given more than a round, to be honest. I agree with you there, mate. 49-46, you could have done, but... in the end, there was never any doubt that Pitbull was going to go in and win a fight. I mean, it was just quite comfortable for him in the end. It was almost too comfortable, hence why he's now talking about trying to fight the winner of the 135.
Aye, dropping another £10, man, fuck.
He's a wee guy, that's the thing. He is quite small. What is he, 5'5 or something? 5'6? Going down to 135 shouldn't be too much of an issue if he does it right. And he would become something that nobody else has ever become, not even in the UFC. He could become the first three-weight champion in MMA history.
Simultaneous three-weight champion.
Yeah.
Who's the 135 champ? Pettis?
Pettis, at the moment. But obviously it's the Grand Prix, isn't it? So the Grand Prix semis... Stott Sabatello and Patchy Max versus Magomedov, the other one, I think it is.
Aye, because Pettis was in and had to pull out, didn't he?
Aye. So you'd imagine If they can, they maybe do the interim champion versus Bettis, and then maybe one of the rat will fight
Pitbull.
If not, maybe they'll put the interim champion against.
That's probably about a year away though, because you've still got the semi-finals, then the final, and then Pitbull. So you're talking at least a year.
Maybe that's how long it's going to take to make sure you get one down to 35 safely.
Yeah, I need to do it a few times then, you practice it.
There's nobody within that 145 rankings really anyway that you're going to go, right, we'll fucking stick him in now. Maybe Aaron Pico, if he'd maybe absolutely a belter to win on Saturday night and was able to get Jeremy Kennedy out of there in style, because he's currently sitting third in the rankings, but obviously that didn't happen. So at the moment, within that 145, there's nobody outstanding that you go, right, we'll stick him in a few months' time against Pitbull. So yeah. If Pitbull wants a bit of time to get himself sorted and get everything right, you get down to 135 and fight Pettis, Stotts, whoever it's going to be in the end, and I'd be letting him do it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Alrighty. Anything else from this weekend that has jumped to your attention during the last half hour or so?
Not a lot, to be honest.
Or anything from the last couple of weeks, or the last, if there's any fight from the last 3 months you might talk about. I mean, I know there's been some news this week. You've got guys like Bo Nickel, who I'm absolutely buzzing to watch, by the way. Can't wait to watch him properly. Shout out to Chris Duncan, because in our break, he got signed to the UFC apparently as well.
Yes, he did.
I think he teased a fight announcement yesterday, so that might be coming soon too. The young lad, Raul Rojas, or Rosas Jr.
Oh, the 17-year-old.
17-year-old, that's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that's madness, man. That was absolute madness, the fact that he's 17 and can fight like that.
He's ridiculous. Anything else you want to talk about?
Nothing major, not I can think of off the top of my head. I'm trying to really think back of bits and pieces, because I've not really been able to catch it all the last few months, so... A few months, it feels fucking forever, man. Do you know what I mean? So
it does feel like forever. It's been about 2.5 months, mate, to be honest. We've missed quite a lot. But I think it's a clean slate for us, to be honest. So I think we'll just...
Yeah, we'll start again. We'll go for here and we'll move on, and we'll look forward to see what's happening in the next few months, because there's so much happening, man. It's buzzing, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Busy few months. Get Abu Dhabi soon as well. Can't wait for that. Okay. Normally, we would obviously do a little kind of look ahead to the weekend, but there's no AFC or Bellator on this weekend. It's quite quiet. So, yeah. Glad to be back. We hope you guys are glad we're back too. If not, fuck you. Yeah, cheers for listening, guys, as always. And have a good week. And we'll catch you next time.